The Cedar Rapids Opera Theater is celebrating its 20th anniversary this season with a production of Puccini's Turandot. This is the iWard Showcase Spotlight. Today we have with us the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's guest director, Bill Ferrara. On January 19th and 21st, the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater is taking over the Paramount Theater in Cedar Rapids to present Puccini's last masterwork, Turandot. The production includes internationally acclaimed Australian soprano Rebecca Nash performing the title role and returning tenor former Cleveland Brown defensive end Tau Papua presenting the character of Prince Kalev. Orchestra Iowa serves as the opera's orchestra, with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater founder and music director Daniel Kleinknecht conducting. Guest stage director William Ferrara delves into the history surrounding Turandot, the opera's plot, as well as his own directing career.
I graduated from Indiana University in opera directing, and I freelance directed for a while, and then I came to UNI, and I taught at UNI for 11 years before coming here in 1995, University of Oklahoma, to direct the opera program. And I direct in Brazil at the International Opera Festival, and I teach in Italy in the summers in Verona. And I have a new book out this year. It's staging scenes from the operas of Donizetti and Verdi. So I'm pretty busy.
And you have another book out as well, a textbook?
Yes, directing scenes from the operas of Mozart. It's the first in the series. And actually, I'm working on a book on Puccini right now.
Which is a wonderful segue into this work that you are going to be directing with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater. And this is a very special work by Puccini. So give us a bit of background about it and the plot.
Puccini began the composition of Turandot shortly after the end of World War I. World War I, of course, the world witnessed horror and carnage on a previously unimaginable scale. In 1922, Mussolini and his black shirts marched into Rome. So there we had the rise of fascism and a terrible influenza epidemic, dislocation of millions of refugees, famine. It was a horrible time. At the same time, Puccini's personal life and health were in crisis. He was in agony from throat cancer that would eventually kill him. So the music of Turandot is filled with blood and violence and fear, but also hope. I believe that Puccini, sort of offering us an alternate future for the 20th century with his opera, he was wishing for a world in which fear and violence could be overcome by courage and sacrifice and hope. So the opera takes place in a mythical ancient China. The princess Turandot refuses to marry. She's unwilling to submit to the humiliation and subjugation. So she devises a cruel, bloody challenge. Any prince who would be her suitor must answer three riddles of her devising. If he answers all three correctly, the Kalev, the prince, will win her hand in marriage. If he misses just one answer, she will have his head. As the opera opens, the blind, exiled king of Mongolia and his son, the Prince Kalev, and a devoted slave girl, Liu, arrive in Peking as refugees from war. This takes place in a square outside the palace ramparts, and they witness the execution of Turandot's most recent suitor. Prince Kalev catches a glimpse of the princess and decides that he must possess her. And so the first act ends as he rings this giant gong, declaring his intention to undergo the trial of the three riddles. In the second act, Kalev successfully answers the riddles, but still Turandot refuses him. So Kalev makes a counteroffer. If by dawn the princess can discover his true name, he will submit to the axe. If, however, his name remains a mystery, she must yield to his love. It's a sort of an interesting reversal. By returning power to her, he gives her freedom, freedom to choose her future. So instead of violence and isolation, love. The third act opens with the famous aria Nessun Dorma. Kalaf is alone in prison, and he summons his courage and declares that he will win Turandot's love. He says, "Vincerò, vincerò, I will conquer." I think we all know this aria from the famous Luciano Pavarotti recording. But Timur, his elderly father, and the slave girl are dragged in, and Liu is tortured to reveal the name of the prince. Rather than betray her master, Liu stabs herself. Turandot sees this act of selfless love and, perhaps for the first time, feels compassion. She begins to let down her guard, and her ice-cold heart begins to melt. For me, this is the turning point of her character and of the opera. It's a very tender moment, beautiful, sorrowful music as Turandot watches Liu being carried off stage. And this was the last music Puccini ever wrote. It was his final gift to us. For many years, he struggled to imagine a happy end to the opera, but he died before he could write the final scene. So, in the premiere of this opera in 1924, the conductor Arturo Toscanini stopped at that moment, laid down his baton, turned to the audience, and said, "This is as far as the master wrote." The opera was completed by Alfano from notes that Puccini wrote, and it's this version that we perform today. And I think the design for this production is going to be really wonderful. We have some fantastic designers. Scott Olinger is the lighting designer. Kristen Geisler is creating projections. We're going to have animated dragons and so forth, these images of power and bloodlust and violence. The sets are by Rob Sunderman from Iowa State. And the costumes are by my sister, Martha Ferrara. Martha is the costume designer at the California Institute of the Arts, so I roped her into doing this with me. Puccini, as I say, struggled for many years to find a dramatically satisfying end to the opera, to the final duet, particularly Turandot's transformation from this ice princess to a woman in love. And Martha really took this transformation as a central challenge to the costume design. So during the course of the opera, we see Turandot gradually stripped of the trappings of power. Underneath her big, stiff, gaudy mantle and headdress, Turandot wears a slim, natural white gown, very simple, revealing her bare neck and arms, and a simple, natural hairstyle. Kalaf, the prince, has something of the same revelation of sympathetic character, and it helps that our Turandot, Rebecca Nash, is slim and lovely, and our Kalaf Tau is a big NFL football muscle guy. So in the staging, I'm going to try to up the chemistry between these two from the very start. Even when they aren't singing, you know, just the way they look at each other like tigers, sort of this fierce, erotic competition. And then they eventually surrender on both their parts.
And in this story also, there are these three servants, Ping, Pang, and Pong, that are part of the plot.
Yeah, they're sort of the comic relief. Ping, Pang, and Pong are ministers. And they have a scene at the beginning of Act Two, in which they regret what China has become, this violent, bloody, full of conflict, divisive, and they long to be back home. One longs to be back in his forest, another back in the mountains, and another back in his little bamboo cottage on a lake of blue. It's a very lovely and tender scene as well. You know, Daniel does a wonderful thing. He goes to New York and to Chicago to audition young artists. And I think it's just great that Cedar Rapids gives them stage opportunity and some promotion for their career. So our Ping, Pang, and Pong are young artists, as well as several of the other secondary characters in the show.
And the role of Liu, she does have a special place in this opera.
Very sympathetic. She is the simple slave girl who helps this blind old man presumably walk all the way from Mongolia to Peking. He's the exiled Mongolian king. And she loves the prince because he was kind to her and smiled at her once. And it's when Turandot sees her loving sacrifice that her own heart begins to melt. It's a beautiful, moving moment. And Liu has the prettiest arias in the piece.
So do you think that Puccini, as Turandot goes through this whole thing, does her music kind of melt along with her exterior?
Yes. So her first aria is about her ancestress that was possessed and raped by this foreigner, and she says she will never submit to a fate like that. And her music is very angular and very difficult and high and loud and unrelenting. And in the trial scene where she asks the questions of Khalaf, yes, her music is again very stentorian. But then as she starts to warm up to Khalaf and as she starts to lose her grip, her music does become much more tender and sympathetic.
The Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's guest director, William Ferrara. Bill's directing the CROT's production of Puccini's Turandot. The Cedar Rapids Opera Theater will be presenting Puccini's Turandot on Friday night, January 19th at 7:30, and again on Sunday afternoon, January 21st at 2 at the Paramount Theater in Cedar Rapids. Prior to the concerts, the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater Turandot cast will present a free preview concert this Saturday evening at 7 at Temple Judah in Cedar Rapids. Also, cast members will present a special concert on IPR's Performance Iowa on Thursday, January 11th at noon in IPR Studio One. Listen to our live classical online stream at iowapublicradio.org or tune in to your favorite IPR classical radio station. And on Monday night, January 15th at 6, the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater cast will hold their Sitzprobe at the Paramount Theater. For more Turandot event details and tickets, along with information about the CROT's Young Artist Ugly Duckling Opera performances, please check out their website at cr-opera.org. Thanks for today's Iowa Art Showcase Spotlight goes to KGOU's Patrick Roberts, IPR's Chris Fenton and Rachel Berenger, and IPR's Barney Sherman. And a big thank you to the University of Oklahoma's professor and stage director of opera, and the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's guest Turandot director, William Ferrara.